Hello, and welcome into episode 156 of Girls Beer Sports, a conversation with girls about beer and sports and whatever else, because it's our show, we do what we want. I'm Carrie, as always, I'm joined by Lauren.
Hello.
Lee, 2 weeks in a row.
Two in a row.
That's a streak.
We'll see what happens. No. Yeah. That's two in a row. The third one is a streak.
Oh, you're not going to make that.
You never know.
Well, this is true. You never know. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Yeah. But in person, anyway.
In person, right? Absolutely. I'm here.
Yeah.
And I love this. We're hitting so many geographical areas with our guests.
I know. We need a map.
We do need a map.
With little pins in it.
We do need a map. Because on the line with us today, from a state that we've never had anybody on from.
Yeah.
A
whole new state.
Yeah, a whole new state. The great state of Arizona is Justin. From the Bathroom Break Podcast and the Jockstrap Sports Podcast. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, not much. I kind of went a little quick there, but thanks for having me on.
You're excited. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. It's good. Be enthusiastic.
I don't know if I've ever heard anyone say the great state of Arizona before, but I'll take it.
Hey, you had the Grand Canyon, so it's pretty cool, right?
You got spring training out there.
They do now. Yeah. I still resent what happened in 1997 with the University of Arizona. Beating Kentucky in the national championship game. So don't like that part of it, but
it was 97 though.
But you know what?
I mean, yeah, it is still the same state. I mean, they have the same flag and everything. So
yeah. But I will, you know, give props to Arizona. I got no beef with Arizona other than that. But not the state, just the university.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Specifically the basketball.
Which I mean, I think fits for this time of year. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it is March Madness.
Yes, the madness of March.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, I got to tell you that spring break whipped my ass.
Spring break broke you?
It just about did. It was bad.
I hear you.
It really was. But
mine was probably different than yours, but
I feel like
mine probably was as well.
Your all's definitely was. I got to give a shout out, though, to Shamrocks. Because once again, that's the place to be on St. Patrick's Day, man. It really is. It was great. It's a tradition unlike any other. That's what I'm calling it. And I really appreciate everybody down there who works hard to make it a fun day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I intend on one of these years actually making it down there.
There was a lot of kids down there.
Yeah.
Like babies running around. Is.
Yeah. We thought about going out, but our kiddo had a head cold. So I was like, you know what? We're going to hole up today. We didn't even wear green t-shirts. I mean, there wasn't a stitch of green in this house.
Wow.
It was the most uncelebrated, unremarked upon St. Patrick's Day ever. It was a loss.
Justin, do you get into St. Patrick's Day at all?
No, not really. I used to when I would, in my college days, but no, not anymore.
Yeah, that's I think a lot of people kind of slow down. I am not one of those people.
No.
Hang on to it, Carrie. Hang on. Friends, you party for us.
I am not one of those people. And it was super fun. I'll just tell this story real quick because Shamrocks has Touch Tunes, mm-hmm. right? And Patchin Pub, which is literally across the road, also has a Touch Tunes. Well, the people at Patchin Pub started lobbing crappy songs over to Shamrock's Touch Tunes. So John got on his Touch Tunes app and started lobbing crappy songs over to Patchin Pub. And I'm talking like the Starland Vocal Band, Afternoon Delight.
Ooh,
like I think he might play that over and over and over and over again.
Play Barbie Girl.
Oh, I didn't even think of that
that's
one.
A really or like, one.
Or some Vangabus or something like that going.
But the bar.
I feel like that's the purpose of Touch Tunes. We hijacked one time at a bar and played Boom Bop on repeat over and over again.
I totally agree with that. It's so fun to do. I've seen the CFO like make people visibly angry in B-dubs. I am not kidding.
I can make angry.
Yep.
From doing that exact thing. But he didn't use the nuclear option, which I was proud of him. He was going to throw Rocky Top over there, and I said, don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't do it. That's not cool.
No.
I don't care. It's not cool. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that was my St. Patrick's Day. It was a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, well, I have to give a big thanks also to our guest from last week, Bobby Del Rio, for coming on and talking about sports stats. And, you know, this time of year... sports stats. I, Justin, wouldn't you agree that that kind of bracketology, I mean, that's what Joey Brackets has made his living on, with his statistics.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You can look at it a few different ways, and obviously the numbers is a main way to look at it.
Yeah, and definitely Bobby, his, he's got a system. Just go check it out. That's all I got. I mean, it was pretty, he's pretty into the statistics. All right, so I also got to talk about one other thing that I did before we actually get to what we're drinking, that I did last week, that this is one of the reasons that my butt got whipped, right? Mm. Two nights of Blackberry Smoke at the Lexington Opera House.
Two nights in a row?
Two nights, yes. Wow. They kicked off their acoustic tour in Lexington. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, I ended up going by myself on Friday night, but I actually shelled out on StubHub for like a second row seat. So they had this band with them that I've encouraged people to check out called Ida May. It's a husband and wife team duo from London, England. And bless their hearts, literally. And I'm not saying that in a facetious way that you would normally say bless their hearts. I really mean bless them, right? These people. On Thursday night, they said that they had finished a show in London at 1 a.m. They got on a plane at 4 a.m. They flew to JFK. They drove to LaGuardia. They flew to Louisville. They drove to Lexington and showed up 15 minutes before they were supposed to go on.
Oh, my gosh. On Thursday? They even know where they were or, like, what, which end was up.
They played, and they sounded good, and they came back Friday night and did the same thing.
Oh, my goodness. Tough stuff.
Yeah, and I have to give a sincere thank you, thank you, thank you to the guys in Blackberry Smoke, because this is one band that I have been following since 2000, and they do not forget their original fans. They really don't. I stood outside the bus. I'm getting a little misty on this.
Aww, look at her.
I stood outside the bus, and Paul and Britt and Charlie and Richard, they all saw me. They recognized me. They gave me a hug. They chatted at me. You know, Charlie seemed really genuinely like
happy to see
touched her. That I had come to both shows. So can't say enough about that band. Justin, cool, you need to check those guys out.
Well, I'll tell you what, Carrie had fun because there was a spy in the stands, because on Thursday, repeat guest appearance man Kyle.
Yeah, he was there.
And you know I do work with Kyle, so Kyle saw me on Friday and he goes, man, I saw Carrie in her element last night. And I said, oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
He was like, she was rocking out.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Nice.
I love them. I love them so much. So sincere thanks to them for putting on an awesome show and just being just genuine, like, people.
Awesome people.
Right.
Yep.
Justin, I don't know what kind of music you're into, but I cannot recommend these guys enough.
Yeah, I'll make sure to take a note, and I'll check them out for sure.
Yeah, they're Southern rock, but, you know, I just think they're really good. Yeah. Anyway, all right, we probably need to get to what we're drinking.
Oh, yeah,
beer. Because we're always drinking. I mean, that's the point. We're just going to keep talking, and people will eventually know that we're drinking.
Keep talking and then drink everything.
Yes.
So Carrie got me something today because I've been slacking and not been to a good place to find anything right now. But this is a Press Premium Alcohol Seltzer. It's blackberry and hibiscus. So I was a little nervous just because, I mean, obviously I'm going to drink it and try it, but I'm not really a floral person. So anything with like that says hibiscus, I'm like, eh. But you can barely taste it. So taste a lot of the blackberry right now. So we'll see what happens by the end of it. But thank you, Carrie.
You're welcome. And I can guarantee you is gluten-free because it said so on the shelf.
Nice. Cool. Always good to have a label. So the label on mine is telling me it's the Taras Bulba, I think is how we've agreed to pronounce that. Taras Bulba, extra hoppy ale. It is a session ale from Brussels, Belgium. I mostly got this for one thing. It met my 4.5%, my low ABV requirements. Also because it's got this really bizarre graphic on the bottle of this like burly, beefy, angry looking cartoon guy holding a barrel above, getting ready to bludgeon this poor little skinny guy in a bowler derby. And he says, Schmierlap, which Schmierlap like means like dirt bag or something, basically. So
you've done the research on this bottle.
Well, I actually knew what the word meant.
Oh,
because I took French in high school. And
I did too. I didn't know that.
Some reason, and I don't actually even know if it's actually a French word or not. But for some reason, someone in there said that, and I was in like it caught on in the class. And so I was like, oh, hey, I actually recognize a word on this bottle. This is exciting. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's not. It says extra hoppy. Hopefully it doesn't overwhelm my hop sensitive palate.
Yes. Yeah, because your palate just about got blown out from these IPAs that I don't know who you are that you're drinking. So, Justin, I know you're technically not drinking along with us today, which, again, is perfectly acceptable. But before the show, you did say you were into beer. So if you were going to drink along with us, what would you be having?
Oh, yeah. I know I sound super lame for not drinking along with you. But I have been to Kentucky before. My previous job flew me out to Louisville. They coached me on how to say it.
Congratulations on your pronunciation. That was really good.
Mm-hmm. If anything, they hammered that into me. But the whole time I was out there, I was drinking Kentucky Bourbon Barrel Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys highlighted that on the show yet, but that was probably one of my favorite beers when I was out in Kentucky drinking.
Yeah. All right. It's a good one.
That's a good one. So like, what's a kind of a go-to beer for you? Just like an everyday type of drinker that you would get off of work and come home and be like, oh, I need beer.
I usually get like IPA, like the mix and match packs or like the taster packs, that kind of thing. Stone Brewery, which is a San Diego brewery, is one that it's like my go-to. It's a little more pricey, but I mean, if you have one or two, you can make it last. Yeah. They're specifically their Stone Delicious IPA is the one that I really, really enjoy.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if we've had that on the show, but I've had that before.
Yeah, I don't think I've actually had Stone's IPA. I've usually just had their like Jet Fuel, like big bombers that my husband brings home. But they're a really good brewery.
They are a quality brewery. No, good deal. All right. Well, Lauren, it's probably good that thing that you're drinking is like 4.whatever% that you said, because the Sharon beer this week is another Avery Brewing offering. It's one of their special annual barrel series beers, and it's batch number 7, and it's Uncle Jacob's Stout, and I bought it for the name, Uncle Jacob's Stout. I thought that was kind of cool. Plus, it's 15.9%.
Yeah. Yeah, I always know whenever that sharing beer like comes out of the brown paper bag Carrie brings the beers in, and it's like that gold topped Avery foil, I'm like, oh no, I'm in for it, because they're always high ABV items.
But you know, it's named after Jacob Spears, and I'm reading this on the bottle, who actually was one of the first distillers of bourbon in Bourbon County, Kentucky.
Oh wow, cool.
So there you go.
Oh
yeah. All right, so for my beer, my personal beer that I'm drinking, Lauren, I am drinking a
Lagunitas.
Thank you. And this, I had to buy this just for the name of the beer because it fits what's going on in kind of college sports, now.
Yeah, nice.
It's the Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale.
That is awesome.
It is. It's on the nose.
Right? And it's
like, it's limited release.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's 9.7%.
Oh, Carrie's going to have fun by the end of this show. Yeah. Oh, that's hysterical.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah. Fabulous.
All right, then.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. We got to get
to... I'll be the only one functioning by the end.
Maybe. It's possible. But I have faith that you could probably carry the show by yourself.
You'll be fine.
Maybe.
All right. We have to bring the show down just a little bit. We have two RIPs this week. First of all, RIP Dick Dale, who was the father of surf music.
Oh.
So any kind of that surf music that you hear, that was him. He pioneered that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I have to give with a special RIP to actually a member, I would say he is a member of the de facto GBS mascot.
Yeah. Our animal spirit, if you will.
Yeah. Lauren's cat, Riley, sadly passed away. And he was
my buddy.
Yeah, he would sit in Lee's lap when we record.
He was always present for the podcast, and he was a good kitty. He liked to be where the action was, where the people were. And on Monday nights, it's at this table, and he was always here. And I had him for 14 years, and kidney failure and heart disease got him in the end. And we had him peacefully put down at home in our laps in front of a warm fireplace. So he met a nice end and had a nice life. And I will sincerely miss that kitty cat.
He will be missed.
He will be missed.
And he scared the hell out of one of our in-seat guests one time.
Yes, that was awesome.
One of our guests who apparently did not like cats. And Riley did not know this or care.
Well, there you go. So, Salud. Thank you for your contributions to society.
And our podcast. That.
And our podcast. Riley. Absolutely. Yeah, to Riley. All right. I want to get into talking to Justin just for a minute before we move on to, you know, what everybody's moving on to, which is, you know, the whole bracket March Madness stuff. So, Justin, you've got two podcasts, right?
Yeah, kind of a member of both of them. It's Bath and Break Podcast and Jockstrap Sports. Jockstrap Sports was my friend. We were all friends kind of around the same time, and then we made the Bath and Break Podcast, which is, I don't know, I really enjoy it. It's kind of a little bit of what you guys do with, like, News of the Weird, and then we just get into, like, random games that we make up. Like, one time I tried to trick Alan into if people high-fived or not, like, famous movie scenes, if people high-fived or not. And I thought that was really cool, but it turned out to be a lot of work. But I still I still went through it. Specifically, when you try to get two people that seem like they high fived, and then you just gotta like go through all the scenes and make sure they didn't high five, so you can.
That's very litigious.
It really is. I know. Yeah,
and I love it because people don't realize you come up with this content and you're like, oh man, this is gonna really work, and then you sit down to do like have to figure out how it's gonna work, and like, geez, this is gonna take 3 days.
Eight hours later, you're like halfway done. You're like, what have I gotten myself into?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, and then definitely if it just like is a dud, then you're like, oh man,
I wasted 4 hours of my life.
Watching
high fives.
Yeah, well, it was mostly I mostly resorted to fist bumps. So like, if people fist bumped instead, I was like, all right, that's a good barometer for me to, you know, put them up.
Is that like a subcategory that you came up with?
No,
or is that like a fake out?
Yeah, it was a fake out. Nice. Yeah, like Big Hero 6. They fist bumped. They didn't.
I think they'd gotten that one right. Yeah, because he would have just knocked that kid over. You know.
Yeah. That's a good point.
So it's just random stuff. I mean, to kind of break up the monotony of what's going on. We try not to get into like politics or anything. Try to get more just silly, stupid stuff.
Right. So, yeah, you all definitely sound kind of very similar to us in terms of we do not do politics
at all. Yeah, that's for our fictional sister show, Boots in Politics.
Yes. Look for it. Gotcha. Nowhere.
Because it doesn't exist.
but I love that because, you know, I think people just want to turn their brains off, right, and just listen to nonsense.
Yeah.
I especially do. And the creative aspect of it helps me out as well, because my job is a kind of high stress job as well, so just kind of getting out of it and formulating these episodes and doing these episodes and then even listening to other podcasts, it's great instead of hearing all these clicks or whatever, people just jarring at anyone else, you know. It's like, let's just come together and laugh, kind of thing.
I totally agree with that.
Yep.
Definitely. Totally agree with that sentiment. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do here.
Yeah.
And so I think you told me on the Twitter DM that we had going that you have been studying the brackets.
Yeah. So I was kind of studying the bracket. Then I was watching those bracketology shows.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, every pick was justified. Like every pick could be upset. Every pick, you know, you could go chalk. It's all justified. So you can find a guy that will agree with you with whoever you pick.
Oh no, totally. I you know, and we're gonna get into talking about the brackets here in just a second. But before we do that, I'm guessing that you're familiar with the college admissions scandal?
A little bit. Kind of a fabricating college or high school sports achievements to get in. Obviously payments, some famous celebrities, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much kind of the short version of it, I guess, is that that's a summarized version, which, yeah, you know, I'm off for that. I'm good with that. I couldn't believe that the dude who is kind of like the ringleader of this whole thing actually photoshopped these kids' heads on other kids that were actually playing the sports to prove that they played the sports.
Oh my god! Right, that's like next level.
Were they good photoshops?
Yeah, I think that they were. Okay. I think I saw a couple of them, and I think they were pretty decent. But Lee, I know you can't really talk a whole lot about this, but right, we talked a little bit before we started recording, and you've got just confusion.
I'm 100% confused on this, because as soon as it broke, you know, I'm sitting in a roundtable meeting with, you know, my AD and a couple other assistant ADs, and we're all sitting around going, what? How does this even, what? Huh? So we sat there, and I've read an entire article of the initial thing that came out, and I'm sitting here going, okay, so, because the initial thing was, the big highlights was all about Lori Loughlin and Felicity Huffman being the celebrity moms that have paid quite a bit of money to have their kids get into schools to these high prolific universities. Here's the thing. Felicity Huffman is the one that really blew my mind, because she had the proctor of the SATs go through and change the answers. So it changed the final score almost 400 points, and it still only got him a 1240 or something. So basically what you're telling the world is that your kid is not that smart. You know, so that's the whole thing. Like, I'm blowing my mind of this, of like, now that it's all coming out, like, obviously you're telling the world that your kids are not that bright. But okay, whatever. So there's that side of it. The other side of this to me is, this started in 2011 and now it's 2019. That's an 8-year span. That's two cycles worth of admissions and graduates.
So by starting, you mean the investigation is from
where this all, like, where they found out where this is, like, started. Okay. Like, so this started in 2011 of this paying admissions.
So they haven't been able to find any cases before then, or they're just
like, I don't know. That's the thing. Again, still confused. Yeah. But so, okay, there could be people that have graduated, gone on to graduate schools, mm-hmm, and everything else. Oh, so yikes. The whole diminishing of the degree, possibly, and some other things, yeah, involved, like, yeah, again, super confused, and the whole photoshopping situation. Do people not look at this stuff like SIDs, you know, other athletes, like, wait a minute, who's that person? You know, like, what?
And people are all like, oh, well, it's non-revenue sports. So I don't care if it's non-revenue sports.
It doesn't matter,
right?
Lori Loughlin was the one that was paying to have their kid be tagged as an athletic crew recruit,
yeah,
at USC. Right. And it's like, because sometimes they think that athletes get preferable admission, which, right, is not,
right,
true.
Right.
So
that
I'm like,
confused,
wait,
me too.
What?
I didn't understand, like, why I assumed that, like, you know, I know they were trying to, like, beef up their resumes and,
yeah, but they didn't even play crew, like, they didn't
these, like, prestigious, like, universities to, like, fake their way in. But then I was like, well, really? I mean, doesn't it just come down to, like, if you make the SAT ACT marks and if you can pay the money?
See, there's a whole lot more to it going on than when we actually got it. And you're younger than me,
yeah,
than when we got into undergrad. Justin, I don't know where your age range falls, but I'm guessing you went to college.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to. I wasn't sure how to put that, like, in a non-rude sounding way, right?
No, that's fine. Undergrad and grad.
I'm guessing you spent a ton of money to go sit in a room with a bunch of other people and then get, yeah, a piece of paper.
Right. So, like, if you don't mind me asking, when was your undergrad?
It started 2005.
Okay. And then, all right. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, see, I'm way back there in 1993, folks, and it took me two times to take the
Back then, the internet was made of wood.
Lauren, that was awesome.
But I had to take the ACT twice just to get a 21 to get into UK, and that would not get me into UK right now. Not nowadays.
Yeah, so, really?
Yeah, it would.
21?
Yeah.
No, I heard that it was 24. Wait.
Are you kidding me? Because I wouldn't have gotten it either, because I got a 21 as well. I did terrible. I don't test well.
Yeah, Justin.
Oh, did they change the scores with the ACT like through the years?
Oh, they may have. I don't know.
Okay.
But, I mean, the highest is still a 36.
Okay. Yeah. I did really bad, so. Okay,
I'm sorry, because I just remember the 30s.
I got my name right.
I thought people got 30s. Never mind, sorry.
No, go ahead. Cool. Go ahead. I thought people got
30s, you know, that's...
Actually, I think I ended up with a 24 for my best one. I took it three times, and I think I got a 24 finally. I squeaked a 24 out.
I squeaked a 21, and I was good with that.
Yeah, I took it three times, though.
No, Justin, I am not insulted by your
amazement. <at all. laughs>
It's fine.
Yeah. We're learned individuals. We're exactly. smart ladies. But yeah.
But my biggest question out of all of this, all right, is, has Lifetime secured the movie rights to this? And have they signed Candace Cameron to play Lori Loughlin and Jodie Sweetin to play Felicity Huffman?
Wow.
There you go.
That's crazy. Full House Nexus.
Do it, Lifetime. Do it.
Well, I mean, Hallmark's, I don't think they're beyond it.
Hallmark's already redoing Wind Calls the Heart without Lori Loughlin, and I'm going to be interested to see what happens with the Netflix Fuller House, because she's been
she's already off of it.
Oh, I didn't
yeah.
read that.
She's off of it. Okay. Yeah, I read that. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
All the memes were the best, though, because there was the best one with John Stamos and the twins on the show.
Yeah.
And he's laughing, and the two twins are sitting there, and they're like waiting on Aunt Becky to get out of jail.
Well,
and I'm like, oh, that's too funny.
I mean,
I'm going to tell you.
Doesn't everyone just want the best for their kids, even if you have to pay for it?
All right, Lauren, are you paying people to get Sylvia into school?
Oh, no, I don't have that money, and I don't care that much. But if I did, I might.
Okay, I guess that's fair. Just, we would never know, because we don't have that mass amounts of money just sitting there.
Yeah.
Justin, go ahead.
Oh, I just don't understand this, because I always thought that you could just pay to get someone into school.
Yeah, exactly.
You're sincerely right, because people make donations all the time, you know, get their names on buildings and things, and their kids are legacy, you know, whatever.
Yeah, they're tagged in their systems.
It's technically not illegal. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how much we're just going to have to unpack. It's going to have to be unpacked. There's a lot more to unfold.
Absolutely,
for sure.
It's fascinating, though.
It sounds super serious, and it was something that I just always thought you could just do, like pay to get into, like, especially private schools.
Right. But, yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I've been out of school a long time, so I'm not exactly sure how that whole
process. Long time, getting longer.
And they wouldn't take the money to get bacon into any kind of college, so.
Yeah.
That's my dog, by the way.
I don't know. Enough, I bet. Or if you just put her, photoshopped her in some lacrosse photos.
Oh, I want to do that now.
You should.
So, Justin, before we move on to the actual serious sports side of this, I guess, would you watch that Lifetime movie with Candace Cameron and Jodie Sweetin?
If my wife has it on, I'll play like online poker and watch it.
I'm telling you, ratings gold. Ratings gold. And watch it happen, and I won't get any credit or money for it.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, the big sports elephant in the room this week, obviously, is tournament. March Madness, NCAA brackets.
Orange ball.
Orange ball. That's right. Orange ball. Orange sport ball. Brackets were released yesterday, and so I want to talk a little bit about this. So, Justin, let me ask you again, since you've been kind of looking at these things, first of all, what's your take on, you know, the teams that got in and some of the seedings?
Yeah, I don't think that there's really much surprise to anyone getting in versus not getting in. I think everyone's kind of on the same page. Seeding, I do agree that Gonzaga is a number one over, Michigan State or?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Actually, no, it was Tennessee.
Yes, Tennessee got the number two. Yeah. Because Tennessee is on the other side of the bracket from Gonzaga.
Right. Yeah, so I do agree with that. I do think that Duke's bracket is pretty, I mean, it kind of just shoehorns them in, I think. But yeah, I don't really have much big things to say. There are a couple ones I'm going back and forth on where I think that there could be some upsets. I do feel, listening to your past shows, I do feel like you guys might be more well-versed in this, and it's kind of a fun, cool role reversal. Like, I'm kind of like, oh, I like the uniforms of this school, so I'm going to pick them. And, you know.
No, it's cool, because Lauren's all about the mascots, right? Oh, yes. She's all gotcha. About the mascots.
I've got some interesting things to say about these mascots.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and shoot Duke shoehorned in. I like what you did there. Yeah. Get it, Duke, shoe, Zion Williamson, whatever. All right, you know, I honestly, again, St. Patrick's Day was yesterday when these came out, so I haven't had a chance to completely 100%. I know enough about it to kind of, I just wanted to talk a little bit about some interesting matchups that I kind of see, and then I think we're going to pick our final fours here, but definitely that Louisville-Minnesota matchup, it's Ricky P's son, Richard Pitino, versus his old team, and will Rick come out of hiding in Greece to be behind the bench to be at that game? That's going to be interesting to watch.
Well, I mean, the reporters won't leave him alone, so he's really upset about it.
Oh yeah, he's totally upset about it. Jerk. I also like the Marquette Murray State matchup, because Murray State is one of these teams that is really good. They are really good. They have the player at Ja, and I'm going to mispronounce his
Morant.
Name. Morant. Thank you. Ja Morant is just unbelievably spectacular. And they're at that 12 seed. They're not a Cinderella team. They're a good team. They're just a straight up good team. Florida. Shout out to Chris America, from Scout Team Sports Radio. You know, Florida got in and they're playing Nevada, who was undefeated at one point, like, in December or January or something. I think Florida could possibly make a little bit of a run. Virginia, I don't care what anybody says, is a paper tiger. They're a paper tiger, and I don't see them. I don't think they're going to get to the Final Four. I'll just tell you that I'm not picking them to go to the Final Four. I think they're a paper tiger. Tennessee, I think, could make a run, because even though I think Rick Barnes can't coach, they do have really good players that could overcome that. Hmm. And then, of course, Kentucky. I think that we're going to get past the Abilene Christian Wildcats, but I think we possibly could have a 2-7 matchup with Wofford that might not be good for us. So, Lauren, give me some of your mascot takes.
Well, I mean, overall, you know, I feel like obviously UK, they're going to go to the Final Four. So, Land Sharks, I got them.
Ole Miss.
I mean, it's a land shark. It's a shark in the water. It's the most fearsome predator in the water. Come to the land. It is by far the most terrifying creature. I also like the Florida Gators a lot, because, you know, it you might not know it, but it's one of the oldest, it's a dinosaur. It's a reptile from the past. It's very intimidating. But also, and the standout that I did not know before this bracket was put in front of me, the Billiken. This thing is terrifying. You want to look at Momo online and think that thing's scary? This thing is like Momo on steroids. It's like, it's got like a cone head and elf ears and like this evil little smile. And apparently it was like a charm doll created in Kansas City, Missouri, that was supposed to like relieve worry. But I think it's going to like relieve the souls from bodies. It looks terrifying. So I am all about the Billiken. I think that thing's going to take that team far.
All right. And Travis Ford coaches that team. So, you know, former Kentucky player.
Yeah.
Lee, you have any bracket takes?
I don't know. Every year I think it looks pretty straightforward, as a sense of, you know, on paper, here's who we think should win. And always there, I like it because you never know who's going to win. And it's always, it's like at the end of the year, you know, it's basically a coin toss. It's tournament time. No one, this is it. You know, this is one and done. Like, you don't win, there is no tomorrow. So, and I think some of these schools that didn't win their conference championships that got in, you know, like a Kentucky, you know, they kind of have this, hey, we didn't win, but we got in type thing. So I don't know. I think Murray State, I agree with you, I think is a very interesting position in which they're at, and I think Marquette has a little bit of a their hands full. And, you know, I never count out Sparty in March.
Because he is the is. And very few people beat him.
You know, again, Duke has shown this year that they are vulnerable. So if they get to that point and they do play, I mean, Izzo always has some random thing. I don't know. Michigan's really, really good right now. And that whole Michigan State game was really, really good basketball. So that's who I've got out of that region looking at. Tennessee and Virginia. I think, again, Tennessee's that Jekyll and Hyde. They can look really, really good and then look really, really bad. So that's who I've got kind of out of that Final Four. With Auburn's dismantling of Tennessee, they are a very interesting team to look at in that region, because potentially could be with UNC in the Sweet 16. So that could be an interesting game because, again, they've shown that they can absolutely tear a team apart. I think Kentucky's got a good road until the Elite Eight, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just kind of where I'm looking at based on paper. But again, if the same Kentucky team shows up that we all have seen glimpses of, that is very, very good. And then there's been very, very bad. So we'll see what happens. But that's kind of my take on the bracket.
All right.
There's not really a team that I would say is the new Loyola for this year.
We won't
know until that first week. But
right.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right. So, Justin, do you have a Final Four?
Yeah. I kind of wanted to highlight some things you said, too.
Sure.
I think all of those 7-10 matchups are going to be really good games. I think that those are really good matchups, and any of those 10 teams can win, like Minnesota over Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I picked Louisville or Minnesota to win, but both those teams are pretty good. Same with Nevada and Florida, like mm-hmm. you're saying. I think Florida is going to win that game. Seton Hall, Wofford, kind of seeing if Wofford is legit, and they do seem legit. And then Cincinnati and Iowa. Cincinnati's essentially playing a home game, so but Iowa's a pretty good team too. I always like these playing games as well. And I'm a kind of a homer, so Arizona State and St. John.
Mm-hmm.
ASU is they fluctuate. They can be a really good team or they can be a really bad team. And if they just get on a streak, they could beat many teams. But I would say my Final Four, it's hard not to go with Duke Gonzaga on the East and the West. And then I agree with you. I don't think Virginia is going to make the Final Four, but I do see Tennessee making it there. Wisconsin kind of has an interesting road there as well, because they could, but Oregon, they had to get past Oregon. Oregon's really tough. So I would go Duke, Gonzaga, Tennessee, and then North Carolina. Those would be my Final Four.
All right. I think that's fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm going to have Duke as long as Zion's healthy and in the game, right? I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
And Nike keeps giving him special shoes, but that's a whole nother thing. I'm going Michigan, actually, coming out of the bottom of that, to tell you the truth. Lee, you talked me into Michigan, and you actually wrote the word down.
I did.
You did. I'm going with Tennessee because, yeah, Virginia's a paper tiger, and I will die on that hill. And actually, I'm going to go Kentucky out of the bottom of that that side of the bracket, because if we can get our three-point defense together and, you know, some other things, I think that they can make a run.
Well, as far as my last pick, I guess, goes,
yes, your Final Four picks.
I think the Ole Miss Rebels, just because, you know, it's a Rebel, it's a Landshark, it's definitely
it's 2-1.
It's 2-1. And then UK, because, you know, UK. And on one side, and then on the other, I've got the terrifyingly horrific Billiken from St. Louis.
Wow, that would be a Cinderella.
Isn't a Cinderella upset pick. And then Florida Gators. I'm going to go with them because, you know, ancient predators are always fearsome creatures.
And they're a decent team.
They are. They have a chance.
They do. So. Okay, so Lauren, I like that. You're untraditional, and you're sticking with the mascot picks, and I dig it. I absolutely do. All right, so that is actually going to lead us into the news of the weird for this week. You ready? Mm-hmm. Dateline, Salisbury, North Carolina. Thrift store sells haunted furniture for $1,000 after warning customers that it caused continuous nightmares when in the owner's bedroom and their two dogs would not stop barking at it. Habitat for Humanity Restore put a chest of drawers and a queen canopy bed that were carved in the 1950s on sale. Elizabeth Brady, the store's director of operations, said two regular customers were intrigued by the furniture and paid the full price for it. She said they did not believe the furniture was actually haunted. Officials of Restore decided, however, to make a full disclosure to buyers that the furniture was said to be haunted. The announcement published by the store read, "Please note, previous owners report the high boy is haunted." He reports continuous nightmares for he and his wife while it was in their room. He also reports that the dogs would not stop barking at it. The previous owners, so the ones who sold it, gave it to Restore or whatever, said that they called the person they had bought it from to ask for more details about it. But after recounting their experience with it, the person just hung up. All right. The new owners stated, "Yeah, I don't really care. They think it's haunted. We actually live really close to Gravity Hill, which they say is haunted here in Rowan County. Maybe it will be a nice ghost." So, Justin, I'm going to start with you and your thoughts on that story.
I'm kind of like the new owners of the furniture. If it's haunted, I don't believe in hauntings or ghosts or anything. I love the lore, though, but I would definitely, my wife probably wouldn't let me have it in the house, but I would definitely have it in the house. Like, I don't mind the story behind it.
And actually, you can, if you look up, just Google the story or whatever, it's some nice looking furniture. It's really nice looking furniture.
Yeah. Well, I'll just say that I have a story about this. I actually slept in a Murphy bed. I don't know if you know what a Murphy bed is. It's one of those that there's like a big armoire and then the bed folds down from that. And I actually slept in a Murphy bed that my great-great-grandfather died in. So, yeah. And it was uncomfortable. It was squeaky, and I was pretty certain at any moment it was going to snap closed, like in a Bugs Bunny cartoon, and smush me against the wall. But other than that, I felt no hauntings. So, yeah, I feel like most furniture haunting is probably bunk. But, you know, I imagine that if they resell it online, there will be people who are interested in actually buying haunted furniture. Like, if they say that the furniture is haunted, people want that.
I mean, I do have a haunting story, too. It's not really a haunting story. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's my great-grandmother saying hello to me. Mm-hmm. She passed in my grandmother's house because they moved in with her after she got to be too old and to be able to take care of herself. And this was the room that me and my sister would always stay in when we'd go visit my grandparents. And at first, I got a little bit creeped out the fact that I would be sleeping in the same room that great-grandma Fabian passed away in. But, you know, the bed wasn't the same, but the chest of drawers and everything else was. But there was a mirror in this room. And, you know, at night, I'd always put the nightlight on to go into the room. And then I'd like take the nightlight out once I got into bed. Well, when I came into the room and I reached down to get the nightlight out and I looked back up, I could see my grandmother's face smiling at me in the mirror. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting good yeah, thinking about chills. It, but like, you know, and honestly, it was like one of our first times back after she had passed and everything. We were still missing her. So it was like one of those things. It was gave me a calming sense though, because, you know, I felt like, you know, she's okay. But yeah, that stuff I feel like is real, but I don't, inanimate objects, I'm not really a big thing with.
So you're more the imprinting in the mirror thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So Justin, I'm going to have to tell you, I kind of believe in this stuff too. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
But I used to go on eBay all the time before they banned it. They can't sell this stuff anymore. When I was bored and just look through the haunted doll offerings on eBay.
Oh, you can't sell haunted dolls anymore.
Nope.
Because whenever I used to work my old job, we would also look through the haunted dolls.
They were so fun in the descriptions. Really were. And yeah, they put the kibosh on that.
So, no fun.
I don't know. You know, I kind of believe it. I don't know that I would pay $1,000. Oh, the furniture set was very nice. It was. So, and you know,
the movies make it very unpleasant when you own a haunted furniture.
They really do. So, you know, I don't know. What salute to, I guess, whoever bought it. And good for the Restore Habitat for Humanity for, like, they got, you know, recognition for their store. So that's good.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they do good.
Some positives.
They do good work.
They do. Check out your local Restore.
Absolutely. All right. So just the one news of the weird story this week. Ooh. Just the one. So that's, sorry. That's going to do it for this week's news of the weird. But of course, as always, that's going to lead us into Take It or Leave It. Now, Justin, Take It or Leave It is a little game that we like to play on this show where it's just a rundown of several different topics, sports, pop culture, whatever. And if you like the topic, yay topic, go topic, you're taking it. If you hate the topic, you never want to hear about the topic again, you're leaving it. So, Lee, I'm just going to start with you right off the bat. Right, here we go. Okay, the Giants trade Odell Beckham to the Browns. Come on.
I'm smiling ear to ear because I'm taking this all day long.
I can't hear your smile.
But here's the other thing. I'm also taking all of our other trades and everything else we did last week. Justin, I don't know if you can get this, but I'm a huge Browns fan. So this whole thing has like been like my dream come true, that the fact we're actually doing things to actually be very good. The Sheldon Richardson trade with Minnesota actually was, in my opinion, I think going to be an even more effective trade than OBJ. But don't forget that we also got Oliver Vernon from the Giants as an offensive lineman. So it's like a fire sale there. I think, you know, sorry, Giants. I don't know what you're doing.
Sorry, Eli. Jeez.
I'm not saying sorry to him because he's declining and no one's refusing to admit
he's
it.
He's probably going to be dead by the end of next season.
Well, of course he is, because you have no one there. I mean, the best meme was of Saquon Barkley working out his quads, and it said the offense for the Giants next season, and it's like literally his quads. It's all it's showing, because that's all it's going to be. But yes, all day long, taking it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally taking it. Not just for Lee, of course, for her Browns fandom, but also just, you know, you like to see like an underdog like pulling themselves up, doing little by little to get themselves back into the running for the big dogs. So yeah, it's positive, and I like it. Go for it,
Justin. Are you an NFL guy?
Oh yeah, I love the NFL, and I do have people that are really big into that are Browns fans as well.
Nice.
So if you're looking at the Giants, though, it's like, what are you doing? I don't really know what
that used to be us Browns fans.
Yeah, that's true. With all those quarterbacks, but I am excited for the Browns team. I don't really like, I don't know, the signing of Kareem Hunt so fast, but that's a different kind of topic.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's a weird one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I do like Nick Chubb. He's a Georgia guy, and he's pretty awesome.
I mean, but yeah, we'll get a mulligan here. I'll give him the mulligan.
And what they did with their wide receivers, they have two big personality in wide receivers, but they're like best friends. So that's like a non-issue then, where if it was like Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, mm-hmm. like it could be an issue kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think that they're making some pretty smart moves, at least on paper. I heard someone saying you can't even make a fantasy team like that. So
yeah. Well, I think I'm going to fence this because of the team that I root for, who is in the same division as the yes. Browns and starts with an S and ends with an S, right? But
no word, Teelers.
But at the same time, you know, this guy's got a personality, and if it can't be controlled, that's gonna cause some issues.
I just think his personality kind of fits with everybody that we got going on. You know, right. Baker's gonna call him out on his stuff. You know, Jarvis is his best friend. I don't know. I think at a certain point, people are gonna tell him shut up.
It's gonna be interesting to see how it plays out, both on and off the field. So we'll see. All right, Justin, I'm gonna start with you on this next one. Bracket challenges. Since 'tis the season,
I'm taking it all day. I love bracket challenges. I love making. So you always make like your series bracket, and then you make like the bracket with all the Cinderellas in it, and that's the fun bracket to watch. And you enter it into few challenges. I think that's what you're saying, like the acro challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I always have like one bracket that I'm rooting for. And then I have like the bracket where I'm like, oh, these teams could upset someone or whatever. I did get into a league at work, which I am super stoked for. It actually, I don't know, it might be just as exciting as fantasy football, especially if your fantasy football team's not doing so well. But yeah, I'm taking it.
Okay, cool. That's fair enough. So Lauren,
yes,
you got the concept, right?
More or less.
So basically everybody and their brother has these bracket challenges you can join. And some of them are just for fun. Some of them are for money. Some of them are for prizes, you know, but there's all these people are like, join my bracket challenge, join my bracket challenge, join my bracket challenge. And yeah, that's what Justin was saying, that you fill out a serious one, you fill out a mascot one, you fill out just like all Cinderella one or whatever.
Well, I'm all for that. I like any time that you can have fun with it and be ridiculous and maybe win some prizes. So yeah, sure, why not?
All right, there you go. Lee?
I mean, if I could do it for money, I would, but obviously I cannot. But, you know, if you're just doing it with a bunch of friends and seeing who can outdo somebody else, I mean, hey, have fun, go at it. I mean, I know people that, the only thing that really bothers me is the people that get really into it when they have like a bracket that's actually doing well, yeah, and they've put a lot of money on it and they act like absolute fools, mm-hmm, when the bracket's doing well or not doing well. It that just gets a little ridiculous.
It's all chance and guessing.
Exactly.
It really is. You know what? Honestly, I'm kind of fencing this one too, because on the one hand, Justin, I totally agree with what you're saying about the being fun and, you know, having fun with it. But on the other hand, it becomes a little bit annoying when you're being bombarded with, join my bracket challenge, join my bracket challenge, join my bracket challenge. You know?
Yeah.
Well, so I'm going to fence that one. I'm going to fence it. Okay. Let's do a non-sports topic. Budweiser, the beer,
yes,
is coming out with their own series of meat. So it's going to be like brats and things like that you can put on the grill that are already infused with Budweiser beer.
Huh.
Justin, are you taking or leaving it?
I don't know. I'm probably leaving this one because I would rather beer infuse the meat myself than have it already packaged. I kind of get it. It's, you know, like a convenience thing, but yeah, I don't know. I'm probably leaving it.
Lauren?
So it's Budweiser infused. Mm-hmm. So it just tastes like meat. Doesn't taste like anything else. So, right? I mean, it just seems like a little overhyped.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to leave that.
Lee. I can't have it. So,
well,
suck it. No.
Oh, that's right. Because you couldn't have it.
It basically makes perfectly good meat inedible to you.
Exactly. No meat for me.
It ruins meat.
And I would get very upset about no meat in my life.
That's what she said. Because you can eat brats.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but not, okay. Yeah, Justin, I'm kind of with you. I like to use a Yingling or some other type of beer. Yeah. But yeah, I get it, but I'm gonna leave it too. I'm with Justin on this one. Yeah, I want to do it myself. All right. General Mills is giving away 15,000 boxes of Lucky Charms marshmallows. All right. But you have to enter a contest to win it. So, and it's going to be, it's going to consist of unicorns and rainbows only.
Mm.
You can go online and enter their contest and be one of 15,000 people to win this box of marshmallows. Justin, are you taking or leaving it?
Well, what's the contest?
It's just you go on and you just sign up and they pick random people.
Oh, it's like a lottery kind of thing?
Yeah, kind of.
at my current age, I'm leaving this. Because it would destroy me. I would be tired. I would need a nap. Sugar does that to me. At least a lot of sugar. But if I was a kid, I would take it all day. I loved the marshmallows and cereal when I was a kid. It was awesome.
All right, Lauren?
Yeah, I mean, I only like the marshmallow part of Lucky Charms. So this would, in theory, be ideal for me. But I don't think I should have only the marshmallow part of Lucky Charms. So I think I'm going to leave it for my own well-being.
Lee?
Oh, heck yes. Yes, granted, again, should we all win this? No. And there should be no reason whatsoever that a grown adult should have this. But I'm saying yes, because why not? You know, winning a contest and something, I can eat Lucky Charms.
Plus, you could sell the marshmallows for big bucks.
I could probably you know, black market that stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
You could use them for all sorts of things. You could make, like, Rice Krispie treats with marshmallows. You could put them in hot cocoa. You could, like, I don't know, make a grilled cheese with them or whatever, you know.
Fair enough. I'm leaving it. Because General Mills, just sell the damn marshmallows. Yeah. There's no way it costs you any kind of money to make them, first of all.
I feel like that's a big market they're missing in
it's
the first place.
It's a huge market that they're missing. Yeah, so I'm leaving this contest nonsense. You know, I'll take the marshmallows. I'm leaving the contest. All right, Johnny Manziel. Bless him. And I'm saying that in the Southern way. Bless him. Mm. Johnny Manziel just signed with the Memphis Express in the AAF. Lee?
I'm leaving it. It's a publicity stunt to try to, I think, get more people to watch. Memphis actually needs the help, but I don't think they need the help that he's going to bring, but whatever.
Lauren?
I mean, the AAF might need the attention, though. So, I mean, maybe this will help. It could. And, you know, I don't know. I don't know if they want to take their league to the Dancing with the Stars level. But which this is definitely that, but you know, it will get people talking. So I guess I'll fence it.
So Justin, have you watched any AAF?
Oh yeah.
Okay. So you taking or leaving this?
Yeah. I haven't watched any of the recent games, but I watched a few. I'm taking it. Give the guy the third and the fourth chance or whatever.
You're nice. Yeah. I'm not. How many times do you got to screw up till somebody's finally like, dude, we're done with you? I guess he's got to run through every league that he could possibly be in, and that's when it'll be over.
Yeah, this next to XFL.
This is the next step before rock bottom finally hits. Right.
Yeah. Did you hear, tangent, did you hear about his wife and the marathon?
Yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks back.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, but you know, anything that puts attention out, I think is, and maybe, you know, maybe he can get that Texas A&M magic back or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know, when you get kicked out of the CFL, that's the Canadian Football League, people.
Yeah.
That's probably the nicest league in the whole entire world, right? I mean, it probably is. Is he going to get spit out the bottom of the adult film industry at one point?
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Probably.
But you know what? I'm going to take this because the AAF, I think, it's going to sell tickets. It's going to put more eyeballs on the TV. So if they can control it, best of luck to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Austin McGinnis.
Yes.
Kicking for the Memphis Express.
Go. I hope he punches him in the face.
That's exactly right. Okay. All right. Last one here. Amazon is rebooting a league of their own. Lee?
No. Stop it now with these reboots. Don't touch my league of their own. Do not touch it. I will go burn it down. I don't care where I'll find that field or whatever they're trying to do. Burn it. This has got to stop. The reboots of things have got to stop.
That is completely ridiculous. I mean, unless they're filming it in Henderson, Kentucky again, that is a complete waste. No. I am not for this. This is a ridiculous reboot. That movie is still completely relevant. Still completely watchable. There's nothing dated about it. It is, that's no.
Justin.
Yeah, I agree. I would leave this for sure. I am sick of the reboots. You can do a similar movie and name it something else. But I agree. I think that the original was just fine as it is. And you can still watch it, like you guys were saying today, and it's still relevant. And I don't see the reason why.
Yeah, I'm same. I'm with everybody. I'm leaving this, and again, for all the reasons that were cited here, it's totally relevant. It's not dated. It's super watchable. I mean, the characters are great. The Penny Marshall did a fabulous job directing. You know, just Tom Hanks is fabulous in it.
Oh yeah.
You know, again, well, why?
Money.
There you go.
Money
and
is
there
the answer.
You go.
I'll tell you what. I would dare to say I will not see it. I will not go to a theater.
No.
Well, no. Amazon. So it's going to be like a series on Amazon.
Oh, why?
That's what they're doing.
I have Amazon Prime and I will refuse to watch it.
Yeah.
Even less interested now.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, then I guess we're just going to end Take It or Leave It there.
Yeah.
So, Justin, thank you for playing.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No, absolutely. So, Lee, did I do good?
Yes, you actually did. This is actually... So, this can that it's in, you all will see the Instagram post, but it reminds me of a Mick Ultra can. So, yeah. It can fit those koozies that are out there. And it's a can, so it's a good summer drink.
In the can, baby.
It's in the can. So, I'm pretty impressed. I wonder if this press has other... I'm sure they have other flavors.
They do. They had one other flavor on the shelf, but it said just not gluten-free, but gluten-reduced. So I didn't buy it because I didn't want to take the chance.
I appreciate that.
Right? I'm learning. That. See, I learned from you.
Yeah, I appreciate it for sure. But yeah, this is pretty good. I mean, I would get these for sure for a pool day.
Cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Lauren?
The Tros Bulba, which is the extra hoppy ale from Brussels, Belgium. It was actually really good. I don't know. Maybe I finally just mutated completely into a hops drinker. But it was hoppy, but it had that nice juiciness on the end of it that I enjoy with like a hoppier beer. And it was bright and pleasant. It didn't have like a grassy or floral kind of taste to it. It was actually really easy drinking, and I would totally get this again. But, you know, a bonus for it saying Schmierlap on the bottle.
And bonus for you knowing what that meant.
Yeah.
Without having to look it up on the Google there machine.
Go. Yeah.
So, Justin, how did that Arizona water treat you?
Oh, yeah. Well, it was bottled. It was reverse osmosis. So it was pretty good.
It's good. All right. That's good for you.
Yeah.
Lauren, what did you think of Uncle Jacob's Stout? From Avery Brewing.
I liked it, actually. It had like a coffee, chocolatey kind of taste to it. It wasn't super boozy for the high ABV. It was pretty drinkable, actually. And it actually paired fairly well with the hoppy beer that I was drinking. So that might have made it a little bit more pleasant.
Yeah, I actually really liked it too, and agree with your assessment. It wasn't too boozy, and I felt like for 15.9%, it did not drink like 15.9%.
No, it was deceptively smooth.
It was deceptively smooth, and it had a lot of good chocolate notes and coffee notes going through
without
it.
Without being like sickly sweet.
Right, without being sickly sweet. Yeah. I thought it balanced very well.
Yeah, it was. It was nice, actually.
Well, the...
The Lagunitas.
Undercover Investigation Shutdown Ale. It drank very well also. For 9.7%, it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, this had that little bit of hops on the end that you would expect in kind of an ale. But, you know, Undercover Investigation Shutdown. What can you say?
Yeah.
It's so relevant. I wouldn't even care if it didn't taste good. I mean,
yeah, the name alone.
The name alone, right? All right. Well, Justin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and please tell everybody where they can find your podcast, The Bathroom Break, and the Jockstrap Sports, and where they can find you on the Twitter and all those other places.
Yeah, my Twitter's at @off_pod, and then you can find the podcast, Bathroom Break Podcast, on Apple Podcasts, and then Jockstrap Sports, same thing, on Apple Podcasts.
Awesome. Yes, go check both of those out.
Yeah.
Because you need non-current event crap that's going on in the world in your life.
Don't plug your ears full of controversy and angst. Enjoy something nice.
Exactly.
And enjoy some fun, y'all.
And deserve it. The internet's not wooden anymore.
It's not. It's completely pliable.
It's totally pliable. And with that pliability, as always, you can find us on Twitter at GRLS Beer Sports. We are on the Instagrams. We are on the Facebook. We are on 12 Ounce Sports Radio. We are on the Barn Burner Network. We are on iTunes. We are on Spotify. We are on Stitcher. We are on some other places everywhere that good podcasts are free and the internet is totally pliable and not wooden.
Yep.
And of course, we will see you next week. See ya.
Bye.